Bibratim, B-I-B, H-R-A-T-I-M, Kundala Shriyam, Bibratim Kundala Shriyam. Sundasham Suratim Balam, Sukha Polam Varandanam Samavinasto Tanabhyam Vipratim Kandala Shriyam. Very beautiful nose. Chitatim. Very beautiful teeth. Balam. The young woman. Sukapalam. Nice forehead. Para Anannam. Beautiful face. Sama. Equally. Vinyasta. Arranged. Kanabhyam. Both ears. Vipratim. dazzling, kundalashyam, having beautiful earrings. Translation, the woman's nose, teeth and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with dazzling earrings. Please repeat. The woman's nose, teeth and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with dazzling earrings. The body of intelligence enjoys the objects of sense gratification that cover it, such as smell, vision, and hearing. The word shunasham, or beautiful nose, indicates the organ for acquiring knowledge by smell. Similarly, the mouth is the instrument for acquiring knowledge by taste. For by chewing an object and touching it with the tongue, we can understand its taste. The word shukapolam, nice forehead, indicates a clear brain capable of understanding things as they are. By intelligence, one can set things in order. The earrings set upon the two ears are placed there by the work of the intelligence. Thus, the ways of acquiring knowledge are described metaphorically. Translation again, the woman's nose, teeth and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with dazzling earrings. So continuing the allegorical story of King Paranjan, Narada Muni is explaining to King Parikshit about this fictitious character. He's not saying fictitious, but it's his character named King Paranjan, who is actually King Parikshit, or Parchinit Maharishat. So after a long story, it goes on for some chapters, then King Parchinit Maharishat will get the message, ding, 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 hey, he's talking about me. Seeing my condition, and he's waking me up in a very nice way. But it's a very long section, about some chapters there. It's describing the here and in general, describing the different conditions that we're living in, the living entity finds himself under in the material world, the different types of coverings, both gross and subtle. The body here is concerned, compared to a city, a wall of skin, and trees, hair for trees. And all, it goes into very, very great detail. And Paranjana means the living entity, bewildered. His friend, his unknown friend, the super soul is there. They're describing it, everything, practically everything. The whole philosophy, in one sense. And how the conditioned soul is identifying himself and this with this body or this very attractive city. You come to, you go to a nice city, right? And this cities are very attractive. Lots of opulence, and especially if you go downtown. If you're on the mode of passion, you go downtown, and then you'll see so many things to absorb your senses in, right? The lights, billboards, and the sounds, and the smells coming from everywhere. Right? And the action, and the entertainment and enjoyment that is offered in the downtown. Right? So the senses are bombarded. Bombarded with sound, with sights, movement, color, smells, things to eat on the street. People walking around happy, some of them. So it creates the illusion that, wow, this is actually happiness. All the senses are engaged, and you know, there's something really going on here. It's really moving. This place is. The senses have a lot of service. A lot of engagement all at once, right? So this is excitement in the mode of passion. This is happiness in the mode of passion, and within that city, within that area downtown, you've got the mode of passion, ignorant places also. This is sex, intoxication, gambling, etc. They're within that. So depending on your nature and your condition, you'll be attracted towards different sections of the city. Unavoidable. You're seeking pleasure by nature, you see. So from the... And it also it describes the subtle elements also, like it's describing the intelligence and the... taking the form of a woman. So it's amazing how someone can write like this. And of course, this is Narada Muni, right? Muni means one who can. Prabhupada says one who can. I think agitate his mind in so many ways. He's got a great mind. So what a mind, Narada Muni. Who's the best? He's the original Muni. So what a mind he has to compare all the material world, all the material elements, all the interactions to different objects. It's amazing what he's done. Amazing. And this is just to remind us what a fix we're actually in. Surrounded by so many different coverings from the body. So many different coverings, and so many different avenues to explore, right? So many different ways. The senses are. There's the intelligence. It's enjoying being surrounded by these senses, so that the senses are the means which we acquire knowledge and experience, right? Not another way. Actually, it's through the senses that we acquire this knowledge. Then applying that knowledge, is also the experience comes. Taste, smell, touch, form, etc. So then that is what we want, right? For the bewildered soul means he's forgotten Krishna. You come into the material world to take Krishna's place, or you're not in sync with Krishna's mood. Different paradigm from Krishna. We want to imitate that. So therefore Krishna gives this special coating of avidya, ignorance. Takes away that memory of who we actually are and who he is. So we're discussing the conditioned souls here. So then, the body identification is there first of all. So if I'm the body, then the senses are very important. Because that's where I'm receiving the pleasure. Pleasure is the, up, up the point of everything. Pleasure, improvement, pleasure. That's the point of existence as far as we're concerned. So then these senses become important for us. But actually they're not. It says the nose is not a very beautiful thing, actually. Ears, not very beautiful things. They're quite gross, actually, aren't they? Ears, you look at an ear. It's not very, you can't say it's really beautiful. The mouth and the eyes, of course, we can put some eyeliner and some shadow and some colors and some, elongate the eyes to make them a little more attractive. But they're only attractive in as much as the idea that the pleasure is coming through them. So on the subtle platform, they're appealing to us, they're attractive for us. They're important, they're very important for us. But they're not actually beautiful, the things themselves. The human body is actually... Anyway, Krishna, it's in the style of Krishna's his body is beautiful. So because we're made up in his image, you can say there's some beauty there. But nothing can compare with Krishna, only Radharani. So then the conditioned soul is wandering around in this body. He meets, we read always coming up, then he asks, who is this beautiful young lady? Why are you wandering alone? You don't have any direction. You seem to be looking for a suitable husband. So that's the intelligence without any direction. I mean real spiritual direction. Intelligence means to analyze objects or discriminate, to analyze the objects for the so they can utilize those different objects for their pleasure. That's his business, is to analyze or discriminate what is desirable and how to achieve it, what is undesirable, how to move from it. Of course, the actual intelligence enjoys through the mind, because the mind is the receptacle of thinking, feeling, and willing. So the actual stuff, the feelings and all that, they're done through the mind. But here, it says the intelligence is enjoying, because the intelligence and mind, they're in cohorts now, because the intelligence is bewildered. So the intelligence more or less follows the mind. The mind's business is, I like this, I don't like that. It's the main business of the mind, accepting and rejecting, and I like, this is good, this is bad. The intelligence can discriminate, intelligence is more broad-minded, you may say. Intelligence can analyze things and say, what is better in the long run, it can make these, but the mind not interested in that. The mind is, yeah, this is good, go for it, this is bad, go away from it. So, but when the intelligence is bewildered, when that intelligence is covered, then he doesn't know who he is or what he's supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be serving Krishna, that's all, nothing else. But when that's taken away, then what should we be doing? That means we can do anything we want. So therefore, 8 million species of life. So many desires. So many ways, 8,400,000 ways, vehicles in which you can explore 14 times the existence for your different experience. So that's a result of misguided intelligence. Therefore, the universe is there for that purpose, to accommodate the living entity's desire to exhibit this independence, freedom, free will. I know best. So therefore you get all this arena to do it in. So it's very bewildering. So many different types of coverings we have. So actually knowledge means basically, how do you distinguish spirit from matter? But intelligence will, when analyzed, but if it doesn't know what it, if you don't know what's in your right, good own interest, if you actually really, if we forget who we are and what we're supposed to be doing, right? Then we're these bodies, and the only object of life is really to be happy. Right? No other meaning, but this, just to get as much happiness and satisfaction, because we know that we, after 80, 90 years, that's it. We got this much time. So therefore, that's the goal. Right? What else is there? And you'll do it in so many ways, according to your affliction with the modes of nature. So therefore, everyone is different, slightly different. But they're all doing the same thing. All want the same thing. We want that peace and happiness. We want a comfortable life and happiness, enjoyment. If you're identifying with the body, what else is there? So everyone is trying to do that in the same place at the same time. Krishna gives so much facility to try to do that. But therefore, there are obviously going to be problems, because we all want to do things where there may be some overlapping. The things I might like to do may overlap on your territory, which you don't, interferes with your program. So therefore, there has to be, you know, to organize, if you want civilization, there's organization. Pranamon, you're respecting other space, so you make a concession. Otherwise, just animal life, then it's the law of the jungle. Whoever's strong gets first. Then that, so it becomes more refined in the stage of pranamon. So what hope for the living entities is there? How earth will you figure out what's going on here? Who you are and what this world is and what is going on? You'll never, ever, ever understand. Never. By your own endeavor. Possible. Not possible. So therefore, out of his kindness, Krishna comes. And he gives the direction. He gives the information. For those that want it. For those that are what? Fortunate. Faithful. Those that have been kicked enough, the material world has done its job. Some people get shaken up and they actually start to inquire, there must be something more than this. That is a real beginning of civilization, civilized human life. So then the Lord's mercy, his program is there, available for everyone. In the form of the scriptures, his devotees. And also he comes occasionally to actually show reality. Otherwise you'll never know. And then even that, because of the condition is so strong, even you have clear information and good advice and a good environment, like ISKCON, and good association, good instruction, still is difficult. Right? If we don't have affection, if we're not devotees of Krishna, then what to do? So then we have to try to surrender to Krishna. If that natural affection is not there, then we have to try to surrender to Krishna. And within that, then we have, but we still have so many impediments into trying to surrender to Krishna, as we know. You sit down and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna. And suddenly you're in another part of the world, right? And you've stopped chanting Hare Krishna. Or you could be chanting Hare Krishna, and yes, but actually you're somewhere else. So very, you know, within minutes, you know, you, the material under the covering is such, you can't be actually peaceful for minutes on end. Right? It's our experience. Right? Otherwise, why you're not like, sorry, you're not, you're not, determined to try to focus the mind, because it keeps going, sorry, you're not, you're not, you're not. Oh, sound like that, right? I'm just. So that means we're trying to surrender to Krishna. It's difficult, struggle to surrender to Krishna. So much influence there in so many different ways, completely bound up hand and foot. And then it's all relative. Everyone has their own different specialities of what they, the way they want to surrender. It's very difficult. So even when you're actually sincere, even you're so sincere and so fortunate that you came to the path of the direct path, bhakti yoga, direct path, coming in line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just simplified everything. Just as it is, very simple. You chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Stop your nonsense. Even that's difficult. To stop our nonsense, to stop our mind going here, there, and starting to analyze, right? Why we're not getting taste for chanting Hare Krishna? Why these things are coming in? I should, you know, breathe better. I should move my head this way. I should rock this way and look, stare at the tip of my nose, or you know. We're trying to chant. We're just supposed to hear Hare Krishna, but you know, we're doing so many other things in there as to help us chant Hare Krishna. It means we're not actually peaceful. Oh, it means we're not devotees. Devotees, they don't have to try, and actually it's spontaneously remember Krishna. Because that's not there, then we have to try to surrender. But what we're actually surrendering to, what we actually want, we want to tap that affection that we have for Krishna, right? This is Siddha Krishna Prem. It's already, love of God is already there, that's our constitution. But Krishna's covered that. Krishna's covered our relationship due to our desire. But it's already there. So now we've got to get inside, and it's covered, the heart is covered by all these different gross and subtle external phenomena that is completely captivated us, that we're out there, that, you know. And we're using these things that's all we're dealing with. But actually we want to get into that, break through that. So it's actually not possible without the grace of Krishna. Your devotion services, or it's actually awarded by Krishna. No hope, how can you do it? 1/10,000th part of the tip of the head. we did a measurement. There's 1,000,000 jivas, souls, can stand on the tip of my little finger, 10 centimeters, as one line, side by side, not all around, just one line, 1,000,000. That's how big we are. And we've got to contend with this whole, all these different energies, which are designed to absorb our attention. Pulling and pushing. Calm, cold, lower, hunger, thirst, lamentation, attachment, detachment, aversion. So many things. This ashram, that ashram, this varna, that varna, civilization. So many preoccupations with covering that. So that's what you got to deal with. So we have to take the best of what there is, the religious or the spiritual, in our case. And still that's, you know, unlimited. Look what we're discussing here. Huh? Look what we're discussing. We're discussing about the senses and how the intelligence is like a body and the it's like a city, and the heart is like a palace with all the jewels and all the pleasures can be had there, and it's bewildering. It's actually bewildering. And so many, and many chapters is going on like this. This Narada Muni is a pure devotee. Of course, it's not for Narada Muni. He's a Muni. He's having some fun, making some, juggling some words and putting them together, and hey, look at this. Hear this story. And we're trying to get our brains around it and understand and relate to it, and Listen, Narada Muni doesn't have to hear this stuff. He's a devotee. he has spontaneous attachment for Krishna. This is not for him. This is just to harness our, you know, consciousness, which is all over the place within spiritual or religious dimensions, supposed to be. Just to harness that, then bring it back eventually to the and wake us up that it's actually all unnecessary, all this stuff. The whole Vedas are vast, right? they're meant to know Krishna. But how much of it is talking about Krishna? Hardly anything. But that's what it's actually for. Because everyone is out there. The consciousness is out there. Who's interested in Krishna, first of all? And if we are interested in Krishna, it's just because we want to make our life easier. Devotees are a different category. They have that. They love Krishna for what he is. The most wonderful person. But otherwise, we're approaching Krishna for help, for something. We want to take his service, isn't it? Otherwise, if we didn't want that, then we would be pure, unalloyed devotees. But what is that alloy? If we were pure, unalloyed devotees, we would be feeling, you know, completely satisfied, completely happy, right? Because we have complete shelter in Krishna and complete relationship. Contact with the reservoir of pleasure and vessel. So you'll be completely satisfied and completely happy in your own world with Krishna. While you're in this material world, Jiva Mukti, or the pure devotees. It's not us. So what is it? What is that alloy there that is stuck in that? So many things it can be, right? So many things that can be found. Our desire to be Krishna consciousness. My desire to be Krishna consciousness, I was very, very rigidly and determinedly, because that is what the Goswamis are saying, but that's also an impediment, in one sense. In one sense, I'm the doer, by my ability, I will actually do it. It's recommended by the Swamis. But from the viewpoint of pure of bhakti, it's a distraction. It's unnecessary, because you're trying to enter. So we have to enter into that realm of pure devotion and with whatever we have and whatever faculties that are offered to us, and the correct method of doing it. But the premise is you just try, or as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, manmana, I don't know, always think of me. That's it. Chito Dharana Marjanam, we have the direct processes. Mahaprabhu has given the whole philosophy in the Sushastikam. Narada Muni has given a big philosophy in the so many chapters. And there's 18,000 verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which are essentially saying, bring you on to the point of loving Krishna. Mahaprabhu has done it in 8 verses also. Clean the heart. Of all the dust, of all this contamination, of all these different ideas and conditions that we have. So many. So that will, you chant Hare Krishna, that will purify that. So it's actually Krishna that is purifying us. We can't do it. How can we do it? How can we adjust the material energy? It's nothing to do with us. 1/10,000 part of the tip of the hair. How can we move? Anything. You can't even push one hair. It's 10,000 times bigger than us, right? You try and move a banyan tree, it's only a few times bigger than us. You try and move something 10,000 times bigger than us, so we can't even move one hair. Difficult. Yet we're trying to, yes, I will do it. I will overcome. So, but Krishna can do it. Maybe she's going to mind. This, my energy, it's working under my desire. My direction, And if you surrender them to me, you can easily overcome that by my grace. By my grace. You've got to endeavor. Endeavor is one evidence of your sincerity. That you're actually sincere. So you're actually following and trying, endeavoring sincerely hard to do something. Krishna is pleased. They are pleased with that. You're actually endeavoring to do something. Now you're showing your sincerity. You're not just talking. You're actually showing. You're actually endeavoring and strenuously to follow the program which is given by Krishna's associates, Goswamis. But is Krishna actually going to do it? to get that, to actually reach the goal of love of Krishna, of pure devotion. That means the Aladini Shakti has to descend on us. Some bit. So that's grace. So that's coming from above. So when Krishna sees that we're really sincere, then we will do that. But says that wherever Krishna is, Maya cannot stand. Spirit and matter, they can't mix. Although they can be in the, by Krishna's inconceivable potencies, they can be in the same time, in the same place at the same time. Just like this material world is within the spiritual world. It's situated within the Brahma Jyoti. So the Brahma Jyoti is all pervading. Spirituality is all pervading through this atmosphere. We're actually situated in the spiritual atmosphere. So the spiritual atmosphere is also existing here. Right? Just like we're in the sky. Everything is in the sky. So everything in the material world is in the spiritual sky of the Brahman. So it's everywhere. But we can't perceive that. We only perceive in the external manifestations, temporary manifestation. So anyway, if Krishna is there, then Maya cannot stand. So it's Krishna that's actually pure cleaning the heart. Maya cannot stand, so she has to go away. All these coverings will go away when Krishna's there. And Krishna's there in his holy name. And nowadays, he's absolute. He's present in all of his attributes and qualities. He's present in his sound, his smell, his taste, and form. So it's not just you know, you want to see God. Prabhupada said, why didn't you want to smell God or hear God? It's absolute. But at this particular junction of time, he's more easily accessible by in his name, sound. So that becomes a yuga dharma for this particular time. So when you chant Krishna's name, it's not different. He's fully present there. But we're not fully absorbed in that name. We're not fully chanting that name with all our attention. So therefore, Krishna's reciprocating. He's come with a broom in his hand. Come on, I'll sweep all this away because I want you to come back. I want you to come back. I don't like to see you here. But if we're... then... you're not interested, Krishna won't be. He's going to reciprocate. According to your mood, he'll reciprocate. So if you're completely absorbed in that holy name, then Krishna's very happy. He can work very diligently. So it's up to us. Krishna's given the option to the living entity. That I'll reciprocate however way you want. But he's told us what is. You manmana bhavama vaktam, always think of me. Become absorbed in me. Bow down to me, serve me. So especially when you're chanting the Krishna's name, which you can do, should be doing whole day, but at least during japa and kirtan, especially those times, it's a good time for you. You can actually be absorbed because nothing else is supposed to be going on. So to the degree that we're actually absorbed in the name of Krishna, then Krishna becomes more manifest. The more he becomes manifest, then the more Maya has to flee. So the more these coverings will go away. There's a process. Krishna's actually doing it. But we have to play our part, and he's given all the ways we can do it. So here's another way we can do it. We can wrap our brains around all this nice analogy by Narada Muni. Amazing. So we can go on a roller coaster and things we wouldn't dream of these kind of things, but he's put all these not just the objects, but the subtle nuances and bhavas and feelings and emotions and into form. He's actually made everything into forms and made it into a city and persons and personalized everything, you know, materialized everything, you know, so we can actually see it for what it is. But of course, it's the same old thing. With it, that there's no actual, what we're looking for is not there. It's not in that city. There's no shelter in the city, and there's no real happiness. Happiness is there, isn't it? That's why we're so mad after the senses, because the sense of happiness is there, but you can't hold it. You can't retain it. So you can't get that. You're looking for that situation where there's no the trouble-free situation, and you can be happy, but it doesn't exist in the material world because it's constantly changing. The energy is constantly transforming. This is your physics of the material nature, constantly changing, right? Constantly. The consistent part is the soul. So within this constant flux of matter and atoms, we're trying to look for a permanent situation. But you identify with a situation, then after a while it's gone again. Take another body, born somewhere else. You can't maintain that, you see? So there's no satisfaction for the soul, for the living entity here. But it appears as satisfaction, and the intelligence is saying yes. The mind says yes, I like it. And the intelligence says yes, you can have it, we can do it. And this is how it is. Look at the beautiful nose, look at the beautiful eyes, look at that beautiful mouth, so much experience, pleasurable experience we can get through these different things. But it's a bluff, material Maya bluff. There's nothing there. Experience will come and go. And then if we don't do it don't act according to scripture, then there will be an adverse reaction and the karma will come. So that's how it is. If you enjoy it, then the problem follows. Then the good times come, then the bad times come, then the good they follow each other, you see. We want only good times, no bad times, but it's not possible. We've never experienced it in our life, and nobody ever has. So why do we think we can suddenly adjust and do something? But that's what we've been promised by our materialistic leaders. It's never happened in the material world. The people are happy forever, and there's no problem. You can see it. Krishna's on the planet, portions of the planet, you may get that, Ramchandra, Krishna, etc. Otherwise, we don't see it. But it's called Maya, that which is not. We're looking for a situation that is not possible to exist in the material dimension. So we have to change our paradigm, get out of the material dimension and focus on the spiritual dimension. That is the Krishna and the spiritual world. So that is the process of Krishna consciousness. And we've been given all facility, like the Bhagavatam, the devotees, the service, good instruction, and the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That still is difficult. Prabhupada said the process of devotional service is easy. Chanting the Hare Krishna is easy, but the determination to do it is difficult. To continue it. Hare Krishna. Welcome to the... Anyway, so this material world, but at least we're going in the right direction, and by Krishna's grace, if we're sincere, this will be the last time we're gonna flap around in a material body. So may Lord Nrsingadev protect us all from these onslaughts of Mahamaya and her associates, that we can become fixed at the lotus feet of wonderful Krishna. Sma Bhagavata ki jai. Sma Bhagavata ki jai. Any comments or questions on this? Can somebody take the mic? Switch it on right at the bottom. Right underneath.
For such a nice class. As you were mentioning in the class that this material world is a bluff, and also this condition, the senses are also very misleading at times. And
I can't hear.
As you were mentioning that material world is a bluff, and we have to focus ourselves in the spiritual realm always with great determination. So could you please tell that how to increase our determination in Krishna consciousness to achieve that focus in our spiritual life and not in material realm.
How to achieve that determination to continue devotional service?
Yeah, increase our determination to focus ourselves on Krishna consciousness and not focus on the materialistic things which always allures us in different colorful forms.
Well, why do you focus on these material forms and things? This is a question. Because they're important. Otherwise, why are you stopping chanting Hare Krishna and going and attending to these things? It means that we think they're important. It may be some idea or energy that we think will give us pleasure, or some peace, a better situation, or it could be some realizations kind of thing. So then we give that attention subconsciously sometimes, most of the time, even subconsciously, because we're so conditioned to that. The mind's business is to, something comes, oh, I like that, I don't like that. That's how we've been doing that for billions and billions of births, probably. So it's so deeply, we're addicted to that. It's an addiction, you see, material addiction. So what one can address that. You're going there because of, it's a better position. There's something to be gained from it. But you should actually understand there's nothing to be gained from it at all. You're chanting Hare Krishna. There's nothing, there's no other shelter, there's no other safety, there's no other happiness compared with that. That's complete shelter, complete happiness. You establish your relationship with Krishna. You're serving Krishna by chanting these names. So, and why should you be determined to focus on Krishna? What is your inspiration to become determined to remember Krishna? Why should I remember Krishna? Why should I?
To please Krishna.
Huh?
To please Krishna.
Why do you want to please Krishna?
Like it is always said that always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna.
Why do you always want to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna? What is impelling you to do that?
Because of the frustration, or maybe the kind of material, when we try to find happiness in the material aspects, it always leads to only two things, either frustration or misery, maybe.
So it's frustration. So you're going to Krishna to get rid of your frustration. You're approaching Krishna, then Krishna, please take away my frustration, I'll be peaceful. It's two things, it's peace and happiness. These are what you're looking for. You've only heard Krishna will give that. You haven't experienced, not for long anyway, maybe a few moments of ecstasy. You've only heard it, so it's only faith. But now, Maya is bringing an option. Hey, here's some peace. I'm banging on the door here, but actually here's something coming. So then, so that is a problem. We've actually experienced some peace and we've experienced some happiness in the material world. We know it works. But Krishna's promise is only promising. So therefore the faith is not strong enough. Because we don't know, we're not going to Krishna for what he is. This is almost like a jnani. They're studying, they're following Krishna indirectly through the Vedas, through the procedures, because they want to get rid of their frustration. They don't want Krishna. They want to get rid of their frustration, but they're using Krishna's process. So the same way, because we're not unalloyed devotees, then it's either mixed with jnana, which is get rid of frustration, and karma, happiness. But the real point is to understand. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, we hear the first day we come, we hear everything. But to actually sink in and become convinced, and that much faith, that takes some time. That there's nothing better at this particular time than chanting Hare Krishna. All these other things are just distractions. You've got the most potent method, and we're applying it, we're chanting Hare Krishna, and something comes in, and we leave that and go there. Maybe it's here. So we're not fixed up. We haven't understood that this, we don't have faith that Krishna is in his holy name. And he's appeared, and this is the most potent aspect of Krishna in Kali Yuga. And we've been given that, and he's right here, and he's waiting to serve us. He's waiting to facilitate us. But we keep going somewhere else. So we're not very faithful servants. We have so many masters. He's coming offering, I will give you, I give you the real thing, but we keep going here and there. So that is our lack of faith. So lack of faith, then how can determination be strong? But still you have to continue, until you actually get a taste of chanting Hare Krishna. Which means you become self-realized. Krishna, as you surrender unto me, here reciprocates accordingly. So then that self-realization will come. That happiness will come if you're very determined to just be fixed on the essence of Krishna and Krishna's service. Then all those things will automatically be taken care of. You don't have to worry about these other things. Automatically that will come. That's a direct process. Everything's taken care of. You don't have to do any other extraneous thing. But we think these things are important. Because that's what we've been used to. I'm the doer. I manipulate like this, I get the result. So we by habit or by addiction, we just can't stop ourselves. So that is the problem. So unless you have firm conviction, then you won't have firm determination. It's a firm faith. So we have to get our perspectives right. That you're not going to improve on a process that is given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is delineated by the six Goswamis, who are direct servants of Radharani. You can't improve on that. You can't improve on that situation. They know exactly what is best for us, conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. They just come a few years ago, they were here. You can't improve on that situation. So that we have to have that much faith. And to that degree, then you can focus more. But like, you know, Prabhupada said, it's very easy, but that determination is not easy. So it's easy to say and easy to intellectualize and grasp, but actually to apply it with a conditioned nature, with so many things that are lights are going off and sounds are, you know, just attracting our attention. This is what you're living with, the conditional nature. It's buzzing. The whole business is to absorb our attention. That's the whole business of Maya. And she's expert. So against all odds, this is what you're up against. You're against every atom in the universe. That's what you're up against. Because the whole material universe is trying to distract us. So don't even try to fight it. It's not possible. You're smaller than an atom. How are you going to come? Don't even bother. Just take shelter of Krishna. Krishna can do it easy. I surrender to you. That's what we want to come to. As long as you think you can do it, Krishna says, okay, go ahead. There it is. Go and manage it. Then you go. Get back. Good luck.
Thank you so much, bro.
Prabhupada ki jai.